gone before us. Keep that in mind. You know, when we have more than one message, sometimes we forget some of the things that's been said before that. And one of the things that that I just pray the Lord would do for us, like today, when this service will finish and we'll have a conference, and I'm afraid whatever we do in conference might shove out all that we heard during the message. So I just pray the Lord will bless you to receive it, that it'll sink down in your ears and find a lodging place in your heart, and you'll be able to receive it and remember it for many days to come. Very much appreciate the message we've already heard, and I want to build upon that. What's on my heart this morning, and I pray that the Lord will bless us for a little while. What's on our heart to speak about is spiritual do-overs. What a strange title for a message. Spiritual do-overs. You know what a do-over is? I mean, you can actually Google it, and it'll tell you what the definition. You know, and think about this. It's a second or more chance after an unsatisfactory first attempt. In other words, have you ever messed up? Preacher, don't go there. We don't like to think about that. But in all sincerity and in all seriousness, we've all been there. We've all come short of the glory of God. But aren't you thankful this morning that God gives us spiritual do-overs? That we can go to, He's given us a way to deal with that. You know, He hasn't just, you know, aren't you glad we're not God? You know, there's some folks that would do some things, and if I was in charge, I'd just go, you know, and that'd be a crispy critter. God's better than that. God's bigger than that. God loves more than that. His long-suffering is better than that. And we rejoice in His mercy that He gives us every day, because every day we need His mercy. So I want to deal with some thoughts regarding that. Are you satisfied with your Christian walk and your Christian service in days past? Are you satisfied with that? I'm thankful I see a few of these. Because it's the only the child of God who's been quickened by the Spirit of God, who has the Spirit indwelling them and the Spirit working in them both to will and to do of His good pleasure, that is sensitive to his own sin. There are others in the world that, you know, radio preacher, or I'll call him radio preacher, that's all the way I know him, J. Vernon McGee. You ever heard of him? He's gone home to be with the Lord, but they still play his radio programs, and he's still... Those programs are still blessing the hearts of many. And Brother J. Vernon said, there's two kinds of sinners. Those that know it and those that don't. And that's the truth, isn't it? If we're quickened by the Spirit of God, we've been blessed to know. I call it a blessing, because if you have that conviction over your sin, it is indeed a blessing, because it is an evidence that you have spiritual life. And that doesn't mean we're not going to mess up from time to time, but it does mean that we've got help. That we can go to the Lord, we can call upon Him, we can approach Him on His terms, and He hears us, and because of what we've heard already this morning, the propitiation that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness. We can go to Him. We can pour out our hearts to Him. And we're not going to acquaint Him with anything. You know, don't hold back just because you don't want Him to know something. He already knows. He knows more about it than we do. All right? But we have. God is satisfied. You know that? When Jesus died on the cross and shed his precious blood, he satisfied our sin debt. Isaiah 53 had told us a long time ago, 700 years before Jesus went to the cross. Isaiah 53, it says, he shall see God looking down upon his son when the time would come, when the fullness of time came, when God would look down upon his son who was suffering on the cross. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God was satisfied with the offering of his son for those for whom Jesus died. Amen. And so as we think about them, the great host of people that Jesus died for. Bless your hearts. God is satisfied. Now, we still walk in this world. We still come short. And as a matter of conscience, we need to confess our sins to God and to feel, to plead the blood of Jesus for the cleansing of our sins and feel that forgiveness again. Amen. Forgiveness is a timely thing. You know, we're thankful that we have it eternally, but right now, each day, we need to feel the forgiveness, that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, some people have been carrying it for a long time. Some people are still carrying it. That weight of their sins, even though the Holy Spirit has quickened them at some time in the past, there's still some folks that's carrying the weight and the burden of their sins with them every day. And those are the ones that Jesus was speaking to when he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How is that? Well, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. There's a given rest that when we come to him, and there's a found rest every time we take that yoke and learn of him and walk with him each day. It's an ongoing, it's not a one and done, it's an ongoing process every day where we need to confess our sins. He has given us confession. You know, when Jesus came preaching, and when John the Baptist, by the way, was sent ahead of him preaching the gospel, what was the message they preached? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You might say, well, preacher, I did that one time. I repented. Okay, but we need to do that on a regular basis. We need to confess our sins to him on a regular basis. Remember 1 John 1 and 9? He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why is it that he is faithful and just? We know he's faithful, but why is it that he's just to forgive us our sins? Because he paid the debt for us. If that debt had not been paid, he would not be just in granting that forgiveness. But he did pay the debt. He did finish the work. And so it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, his blood washed away our sins, but as a matter of conscience, we need to be reminded of that. We need to be renewed in that. We need to feel that forgiveness when we go to him in confession. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That purges our conscience, so we can get up and go again. God blesses us with spiritual do-overs. All right? Bless your hearts as we think about what he has done for us. You know, each day as we start the day, there's a fresh slate. Aren't you thankful for that? Every day, when we wake up in the morning, we've got a fresh slate to start the day. All right? Are we going to start that day with treasures laid up in heaven because of what we did yesterday? Or are we going to carry the weight of our sins into another day and add to the burden that we have and the weight that we feel, that guilt before God. Now, I'm talking about the kind of guilt that's with us in this time world. We know that when Jesus died, he put away our sins, and that's why there's good news in the gospel, because he's already put away our sins. But if we don't know that, and if we haven't heard that good news, and if we haven't come to him and confessed our sins, we carry the weight of those things with us every day. God doesn't want us to do that. He's told us to come to him and to confess our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins because we have a propitiation. We have forgiveness of sins. We have one that has given himself for us. And he paid the sin debt. That debt is paid in full eternally. But we still have a quickened conscience. We still have the knowledge that of whatever we've done. And so we need to plead the blood of Jesus for the cleansing of our sins in confessing our sins so that we can feel that forgiveness that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's so needful, isn't it? But each day now, we have a fresh slate to start with. And when I said a while ago, just a moment ago, did we lay up treasures in heaven the day before? You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I've preached on this recently, but I need to touch on it again this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul is writing, Paul, by the inspiration of the Spirit, is instructing Timothy, who's supposed to teach others also. And here's what he's supposed to teach them. He says, charge them, I'm in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, verse 18, here's what they're to do. Here's how they're to go about laying up treasures in heaven. You know, that's something that we need to do on a regular basis, all right? Because there's going to be times when we're challenged. There's going to be times when life is hard. There's going to be times when we're going to face trouble and heartache. And if we've laid up those treasures in heaven, it's going to help us in that day. All right? So he says, charge them that are rich in this world to be not high-minded, nor trust in those rich, but in the living God. That's who they're to trust in. But in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And here's what laying up treasures in heaven looks like. That they do good. All right? Doing good would be doing according to the will of God. If God has told us there's certain things that we're to do, then we need to do that. And when we do that, we'll be blessed. And that's not just New Testament. That's Old Testament as well. Isaiah said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the edge of the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. All right? So doing good, God blesses. All right? So that they do good. All right? Now that's an exceedingly broad statement, that they do good. Because depending on life's circumstances, it could vary greatly, can't it? All right? But God gives us opportunities to serve him every day. So someday it might be to lend a hand to somebody and to help them along life's pathway. Sometime it might be to go to somebody's house that's lost a loved one and just sit there. You might not even say a word, but your presence will minister to those people who are grieving. Right. All right, there's just all kinds of ways that opportunities present themselves for us to do good. And it's important for us to do. All right, so that they do good, all right, that they be rich in good works, right? Rich in good works. So there's another kind of riches that's not measured by your bank account. God's economy. You know, I love God's economy, don't you? See, in God's economy, if you want more love, give it away. What? Yeah, give it away. The more love you give away, the more is going to come back to you. Okay? When you share, and he's going to get into that. So he says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to give and to share. Listen, what do you have that God hasn't blessed you with in the first place? Well, preacher, I worked hard for that. Well, yeah, but he gave you the strength to get wealth. Okay? Go read Deuteronomy. All right? He blesses us to do what we can. And so we should be willing when, now he knows what our needs are, and he's promised to supply our needs. All right? So anyway, he's told us that to be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. All right? It's a variation, both of these words, ready to distribute and willing to communicate. Both of them have the idea of sharing and giving. All right? So that's the kind of attitude we should have. And I'm not talking about a health and wealth doctrine here. I'm talking about God has told us that, well, in the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes maybe. I'm not getting the address this morning, but he says there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. Talking about giving. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet and it tendeth to poverty. That's God's economy. That's the way God works. He has been so generous with his grace. All the things that we don't deserve, he's given us freely. He's given us lavishly of his grace. Love itself is a sacrifice. It's a giving, right? God so loved the world that he did what? Gave. He didn't just have good thoughts toward us. He didn't just send a prophet with some good words. No, God so loved the world that he gave. That's how love is defined. Love is sacrificial. You have to give up something. You have to give up yourself and selfishness to love someone else. And so, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, okay, those terms, those are the activities of laying up treasures in heaven. Well, preacher, how can it be laying up treasures in heaven when we're helping somebody here? Well, it's because Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So whatever we do for others is doing for Christ when you do it with the right attitude and the right motive. All right? So that's how we lay up treasures in heaven. All right? Laying up in store, when you do those things, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation. Remember, we oftentimes contrast this with, in Luke chapter 12, what we call the rich fool, the man that whose fields brought forth plentifully, and he had to tear down his barns and build bigger barns so he could store up his goods. And he said, soul, take thine ease. Thou hast much goods laid up in store for many years. And the Lord came to him that night and said, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and then whose shall all these things be? And then here's a sobering comment to that lesson the Lord gives us. So is everyone who is not rich toward God. Those that are selfish, those that keep it all to themselves, God's going to judge that. If he's quickened, if he's blessed us in our hearts to know him, and if he's blessed us with all these things, when we keep them all to ourselves, he's not going to bless that. You know, Proverbs 28:13, I believe it is. He says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth, we're getting back to confession again, aren't we? But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's both confession and repentance. You know what confession is? Oh, it's not just some good words that somebody wants to hear. Confession is to say the same thing. It's what you feel in your heart. When there's conviction in the heart and it comes out your mouth by confessing those things, that's real confession. Confession is to say the same thing, to say with your mouth what you feel in your heart. And if God has quickened you by His Spirit and He has blessed you to know Him and to love Him, and when you feel conviction in your heart over your sins, then you need to confess it with your mouth. Those are good works. Those are sacrifices that are well-pleasing to God. That's laying up treasures in heaven. That's following Him in the way that's pleasing in His sight. All right? So he says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. There's going to be a time when you're going to need to draw from that. And part of what you're laying up is experience. You're experiencing God's faithfulness. You're experiencing God's love. You're experiencing the fact that when you needed Him, He was there for you. And I tell you, we need to tuck that away in our mind and remember it. Because there's going to come a time when we're going to face the fiery trials. There's going to be a time when we're going to be tested. And we need to remember and remind ourselves. We need to be like Daniel was. In Daniel, what it was, Daniel 1 and 8, I believe it is, where it says that he, what's the word? Purposed in his heart. Thank you. He purposed in his heart that he would not sin against God. He purposed. Ahead of time, before the fiery trial. You know, when trouble comes, sometimes we'd have to scramble around and find God. Kind of got to get back on speaking terms with the Lord because we've left it off. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not sin against God. He made preparations. And let's see now. I won't take time to turn to it. But the very next verse, verse 9, tells you what happened when Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not sin against the Lord. And it says the Lord brought the keeper of the prison into tender affection with Daniel. God blessed that situation because Daniel trusted God and he wanted to be faithful to God and he wanted to serve Him as best he could. And he was doing it aforetime. You know, he was practicing it before the trial came. And God honored that and blessed him and provided for him. And even though he was in a prison, God took care of him. And he was blessed, even in prison, when the trials came. Bless your hearts, think about it. All right? I'm confused. It wasn't in prison. I'm confusing that with Joseph. It was in the captivity when they were carried away as captives and given, all right, to the service of the king. But he purposed in his heart not to sin against the Lord, and the Lord blessed him and brought him into favor with those that were in charge of those captives. So think about it. He laid up treasures in heaven, and he was able to draw from that when he needed it. And so should we do the same. Because if we don't, then if we're not confessing our sins on a regular basis, if we're not calling upon Him, then we're carrying those things with us and they accumulate and they weigh us down. Instead of us being joyful before the Lord, we've got a weight that we're carrying, that we're dealing with. But God's given us a way to get rid of that. God's given us a way. You know, James, the book of James, it says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. All right? So in John, I've already quoted 1 John 1, 9. He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. He clears our conscience so that we can get up and go again. We get a do-over to try to do better the next time. We're going to need another one and another, but He gives it to us. You know, over in Isaiah, I won't take time to turn to him, but I'll just call it out real quickly. It's five times you're going to find this expression at the end of a verse. Five times Isaiah in prophecy talks about how bad a condition the children of Israel were in. things that they had done that offended God. All right? But each time, let's see, it's Isaiah 5:25, 9:12, 9:17, 9:21, and 10:4. All those, if anybody wants to list, I'll give it to you later. But all five of those times, after he talked about how bad a condition they were in, it says, for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. You know what that says? As bad as it was, his hand is still stretched out. We can still reach out and take his hand. And faith within us is what enables us to lay hold upon him and take his hand. It's like he's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come and dine. Didn't we sing that? Did we sing that today? We've sung it lately. Come and dine, he says, unto them on the shore. When Peter had offended the Lord, and they went a-fishing. He didn't rebuke them. He said, come and dine. He had food prepared for them. For all this, his anger was not turned away, but his hand is stretched out. Still, think about how merciful God is. And the reason that he can continue to be merciful is because he has sent his son to suffer and die as a substitute for us. We have that propitiation for our sins. And so as we think about, we can come to him. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. When we feel the burden of something that we've done. You know, by the way, David. Even though David was a man after God's own heart. And even though God had blessed David so many times. He messed up royally, didn't he? Pun intended. He messed up royally. He was the king over God's people. And he messed up. But you go to Psalm 51. I won't take time to read it this morning, but go to Psalm 51. This is where, even though for almost a year now, David had tried to hide his sin, but God sent a prophet to him, poked his finger in his face and says, thou art the man. God wouldn't let it be hidden. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And so in Psalm 51, that's the language of David's repentance when he had sinned with Bathsheba. That was the language where David was confessing his sin, where he was pouring out his heart to God and asking him, begging him to restore the joy of thy salvation. And God heard his prayer and God answered his prayer. And God blessed him with a do-over. To do it again, to get up and go again and be faithful once again. We have, and God knows, you know, Psalm 103, he hath not rewarded us according to our iniquity, nor he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity, the filthiness that we have. God hasn't dealt with us that way. God, by his grace and through his mercy and for the great love wherewith he loves us, he's given us his son to save us from our sins. So each day, we can get up and go again. We can draw nigh unto God with the promise that he will draw nigh unto us. And so Psalm 51 speaks of that. And so, if we think about our need of the Lord, then there's no serious improvement that we'll ever experience when we've sinned and come short of the glory of God without prayer and confession. Confessing unto him, praying unto him for forgiveness of our sins. You know, even Jonah. Jonah, let me read you a couple of verses here, just very quickly here. Find the little book of Jonah, right after Obadiah, just before Micah. You remember Jonah's experience? I'm just going to pick it up right there where he was at his lowest. When was Jonah at his lowest? He was in the belly of a whale, wasn't he? Now, I believe that was a literal whale. And I believe he was there in the sea. Jonah went down to Joppa. He was running from the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He bought him a ticket. He went down into a ship. And when he had to confess that he was the troublemaker and that caused the storm to brew against them, they threw him overboard. He told them to throw me overboard. I'm the troublemaker. And he went down into the sea. And then a whale swallowed him up, and he went down the throat of that whale. And Jonah himself described it as the belly of as the belly of hell. That's where Jonah was. But let me read you a couple of verses. Verse 2, and he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, listen, this is a man that's in the belly of a whale. How can he know which direction is up? Right? Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Now, how in the world could Jonah look toward the temple? How could he know where, what direction to look? Well, he's not talking naturally. All he had was spiritual at that time. I don't believe he could see anything. All right? But in his heart, that quickened individual within him looked toward God. He turned to God. That's how he was able to look to that temple. All right? So he said, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. All right? Then come down in verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, that's when he hit bottom. That's when he came to himself and realized what he had done was wrong. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. All right, that has to be in spirit. That has to be just in spirit calling upon the Lord, because he didn't know which way was up at that time. Then he says in verse 8, and here's something very serious and something that we need to lay to heart, because we do it on a regular basis. He said, they that observe lying vanities. What's that? If you buy into something that you know is a lie, it's empty, it's unprofitable, that's what vanity is, but you buy into it anyway, you think, well, I can get away with this. I can do this without any problem. That's observing a lying vanity. You're believing a lie and hoping you can get away with it. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. That's what Jonah found out. He thought he could run from the Lord. He thought he could get away from the presence of the Lord. He thought that he could just go his own way when the Lord had told him what he needed to do. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. As long as he was trying to get away from the Lord, he was forsaking his own mercies. But what did I quote you from Proverbs? Proverbs 28:13, I believe it is. He says, he that covereth his sins, you know, tries to continue on in the wrong way. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So here he's saying they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. How's he going to find it? He confessed. He confessed his sins. All right? So he said, when my soul fainted within me, and I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And you know what happened when he made that confession and that proclamation? He was saved. Not eternally, but he was saved from the present distress. And so it says, verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. He was delivered from the belly of the whale. He was delivered from that problem. We're not talking about eternal salvation. We're talking about from a timely problem that he got himself into by forsaking his own mercies. And brethren, the same is true for us today. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess that salvation's of the Lord, we'll find deliverance. We'll find that deliverance that we so desperately need. If we don't confess our sins and if we don't turn to the Lord, then we just add to the burden that we have of carrying the weight of our sins instead of confessing them and forsaking them. Which one's better? Which one's better? Oh, it's so much better to confess to the Lord that we need him and beg for his forgiveness. And bless your hearts, then and only then do we feel that forgiveness that we need on a regular basis. So David in Psalm 55, verse 17, spoke about how evening and morning and noon will I praise him. Now we would say morning, noon, and evening, wouldn't we? And that's how we reckon time, morning, noon, and evening. But that's a Jew speaking. And the Jews understood that the evening and the morning, you know, was the first, you know, like in back in Genesis, the evening and the morning was the first day. Okay, the evening came first. There was darkness upon the face of the earth. Then God created light. So there was the evening. So when in Psalm 55, when he says evening and morning and noon, will I praise him? Oh, may God help us to remember how much we need the Lord. Yes, we come short each day. Yes, we need his forgiveness. Yes, we need his help along life's pathway. But he's promised and he's given us in his word. We have that forgiveness eternally through our Lord Jesus Christ. But as a matter of conscience, we need to come to him on a regular basis and confess our sins and wipe that slate clean. Let God wipe it clean from our conscience, so that we can have a do-over, so that we can get up and go again, so that we can serve him faithfully without having to worry about the past, without carrying the weight of our sins every day. Oh, may God help us to do that which is pleasing in his sight and to come to him. You know, I'll close with Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, Paul says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Preacher, how can we come boldly when we've sinned? We come pleading the blood of Jesus. We don't come arrogantly thinking we've got any goodness in ourselves. No, we come pleading the blood of Jesus for the cleansing of our sins. But we claim that through faith. We claim that forgiveness. If he's quickened us and made us alive unto him and blessed us to know his love and his mercy and the good news of the gospel, that we have a propitiation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and bless your hearts, let us come boldly unto that throne of grace, that we may confess our sins and find that forgiveness that we need, find that mercy that we need. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May God help us not to carry those things every day. He's given us a way that we can walk close to Him and feel that forgiveness. Because without that forgiveness, we're burdened down. But with it, there's joy, there's peace, there's happiness as we go about our day. Happy in the Lord. Happy because of His mercy and His goodness upon us. Oh, may God help us to look to Him each day and draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto us. He's a God that gives us do-overs on a regular basis when we approach Him on His terms. May God bless you as our prayer.